Good morning, church. Great to be here today. Kathy and I just enjoy sharing with you and seeing what God is doing here at Bethel. And as Pastor Danny said, we have so many memories. And thank you, Pastor Danny and Heather, for just the honor of being invited to come back and share from God's Word. So we could tell a lot of stories, but I'm not going to do that, and I won't tell any stories about any of you. does that make you feel better? All right, I won't tell any stories about you. I won't torment you. Some of you are saying, "Thank you, Lord. He's not going to torment me." I tell people that, you know, some of us need mentors and some need tormentors. So. Sometimes some of you just need tormented a little bit, but I'm not going to do that today. But you know, isn't it amazing? We got to share from the Lord's table this morning, and Kathy and I were just blessed by being able to share communion with you, because it's what unites us. It's the commonality that reminds us of who we are in Jesus and what He has done for us. And so isn't it amazing that out of great pain, God has brought great blessing? Isn't that amazing? I mean, that just is something that should continue to astound us and also give us hope, because we all go through times of great pain in our lives. That's something else we have in common. We have the Lord's table in common, but we have the realities of life in common too, right? And you all know what it's like to go through painful times, right? There's none of us that are immune to that, because we live in a broken world. And sometimes when we're hurting, we want to run away, right? I ran away once when I was a teenager, because I was hurting, I was angry. And so I ran away. It didn't help. You know, I still had to face myself, and I had to face my need for God. So the story we're going to look at today is about a man who was forced to run away. He was thrown out of his family. He was labeled as no good. He was rejected. And I'm sure that all of us here this morning know about painful labels that people can hang on us, or even that the culture can hang on us, right? And maybe sometimes you believe things about yourself because of a label that somebody hung on you, which really isn't how God sees you. So we're going to look at this story of Jephthah. It's found in Judges chapter 11. And it starts in verse 1, and it says, "Jephthah of Gilead was a mighty warrior. He was the son of Gilead." And then there's this three-letter word, B-U-T, "but his mother was a prostitute. Gilead's wife also had many sons, and when these half-brothers grew up, they chased Jephthah off the land. 'You will not get any of our father's inheritance,' they said, 'for you are the son of a prostitute.' So Jephthah fled," he ran away, "Jephthah fled from his brothers and lived in the land of Tob, where a group of adventurers gathered around him and followed him. At about this time, the Ammonites began their war against Israel. When the Ammonites attacked, the elders of Gilead sent for Jephthah in the land of Tob." This is a two-part story. The first part is the story of pain. The second part is the story of potential. The entire book of Judges is basically a story of pain. If you sit down and you read through that in one sitting, you'll see painful chapter after painful chapter showing how Israel failed to live up to their calling and potential. And in those stories, we learn how God works to bring healing and hope into our pain. Because many of the characters that we read about in the book of Judges are people with great flaws in their life, yet God doesn't reject them. And that gives us hope today. Amen? So Jephthah was one of those characters. And even before he breathed his first breath of air, people's attitudes were formed against him because his mother was a prostitute. So what a story this would be in a small town. Imagine the small village in which Jephthah grew up. Everybody knows everything about you and your family. And they don't mind telling everybody else and anybody else who will listen what they know about you and your family. You know about wagging tongues, right? Right? So this kid started out in life with three strikes against him. We really don't know a whole lot about Jephthah's father, but we know what everybody else in the town knew. We know that he spent time with a prostitute, and that out of this immoral relationship, a conception occurred, Jephthah was born. So imagine this, growing up in this village where everybody knows everything about you. Imagine how he was treated. Imagine the names that he was called to his face, as well as behind his back. Imagine the parties that he was not invited to. Imagine the mothers who would not let their kids play with Jephthah, that son of a harlot. And I wonder, did he get bullied? Did adults turn their heads when others picked on him? What did it feel like to be an unwanted child? Have you experienced that? You see, Jephthah grew up in a home with many brothers. Later in the story, it says he had 30 half-brothers. And probably some sisters. And although they all had the same father, he was a constant reminder of his father's unfaithfulness with another woman, and his brothers never let him forget it. If you had any people in your life like that who would never let you forget your failures, keep throwing them up in your face, and this wasn't even his personal failure. Now, if you want to understand family dysfunction, just study the dynamics in a family where contempt and arrogance and condemnation and power struggles are predominant instead of love and grace. That's what Jephthah experienced. And in one word, that's called pain. Say that word with me, pain. Before he reached young manhood, his half-brothers conspired against him in order to deprive him of any part in the family inheritance. They reminded him, as they had probably reminded him thousands of times before, you are the son of a strange woman. You will not be allowed to share in the benefits of this family. And even the community leaders turned their backs on the injustice that was being done because they ignored God's law, which was very clear about how Jephthah should have been treated, and they added to this mistreatment. So just imagine that in the neighborhood where you live, that everybody in your neighborhood knows who you are. But not because you're famous, but because you're infamous. And you are punished for the sin of someone else. You are labeled. You are kicked out. What kind of person would you expect Jephthah to become as he grows up? Because if anyone could have used their bad breaks, their parentage, their circumstances and injustices as an excuse for living a life of rebellion, ungodliness, anger, and hatefulness, Jephthah could have. He could have taken on a victim attitude. He could have said, I'm worthless, I'm unwanted, I'll never be good enough. So let me ask you, what's your story of pain? We all have one, don't we? And we probably, in this group here this morning represent the many injustices that can be inflicted on people. Because little that happens to a person is not in some way, directly or indirectly, represented here today. So what part of Jephthah's story have you lived? Because no one grows up in a world damaged and broken by sin without experiencing pain. And like Jephthah, every one of us here this morning, we have some painful memories. You know, maybe your story of pain is one of rejection. Maybe it's one of hatred, divorce, abuse. Maybe it was a lack of affection. Maybe it was the hurt of comparison, being told over and over while you were growing up, why can't you be more like? Some of us know about that. So the important question is, not what was done to you, but what are you going to do with your story of pain? That's the important question. Not what was done to you, but what are you going to do with your story of pain? So are you going to keep living that story, rehearsing that pain, or are you going to write part two, which is the story of potential? Now, I want to go back to verse one and look at how the Bible introduces Jephthah. It says, Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty warrior. Say mighty warrior with me. Mighty warrior. Now, you know when you read on in the story that that's not how his family saw him, right? That's not how his family introduced him. His half-brothers didn't say, I want you to meet our brother Jephthah, the mighty warrior. That's not what they called him, right? But this is how God introduces him to us, right? God introduces him as Jephthah the Gileadite, a mighty warrior. So how did he become a mighty warrior? I mean, verse 3 tells us, gives us a little insight. He becomes a tribal chieftain after he was kicked out, after he ran away to the land of Tob. He becomes a tribal chieftain, leading his men and defeating the enemies of Israel. He becomes a mighty warrior. One day he is sought out by the very leaders who failed to grant him justice when his brothers threw him out. And we read on in the story, verses 6 to 10. The elders said, come and be our commander. Help us fight the Ammonites. But Jephthah said to them, aren't you the ones who hated me and drove me from my father's house? Why do you come to me when you're in trouble? The elders replied, because we need you. Now, I want you to hear what's happened here. He went from unneeded and unwanted to needed. See that twist in the story? He went from unneeded and unwanted to needed. And the elders say, if you lead us in battle against the Ammonites, we will make you ruler over all the people of Gilead. Jephthah said to the elders, let me get this straight. If I come with you and the Lord gives me victory over the Ammonites, will you really make me ruler over all the people? The Lord is our witness, the elders replied. We promise to do whatever you say. So they needed help. Jephthah was their man. They swallow their pride. The man that they had mistreated, they now turn to. They're asking him for help. This young man who was rejected and thrown out by his family, thrown out of Gilead, now becomes the leader of God's people. And we might ask, well, how does that happen? How does God redeem our pain? How did he rise above his disadvantaged circumstances? How did he overcome the temptation to settle into a victim attitude? You know, that would have been easy to do, right? To settle into a victim attitude. How did he rise above self-pity and become one of God's heroes? How did he overcome the soul-destroying lies that he had heard over and over again when he was growing up? How did he overcome those life potential destroying lies that he had heard over and over again? And that's where I want to talk to you about breaking through your pain to your potential. And there's four simple lessons that I see in Jephthah's story. The first one is he let pain teach him. He let pain teach him. Do you know that pain can be a great teacher? I've learned things in the painful moments of my life that I've never learned any other way. Now, I don't want to go back and repeat those moments. You know what I mean, right? But there's things that can be learned. Verse 3 tells us he fled from his brothers, but when he went to the land of Tob, he became a leader there. So his brothers who had rejected him, now he goes to a land where he's accepted. He becomes a leader. He learns to be a warrior. He learned skills that he would not have learned otherwise. And out of his pain came new abilities. He was not a worthless reject. Here were other men who looked up to him as their leader. Do you know that God knows how to redeem our suffering? God knows how to redeem our suffering. Isn't that the message of the cross when we celebrate from the Lord's table? That God knows how to redeem suffering? So do you know that adversity can be used by God to prepare you for your potential? Adversity can be used by God to prepare you for your potential. So let me ask you a question, something for you to think on and meditate on. What lessons have you learned from pain that can help you take hold of your potential? What lessons have you learned? Because God doesn't mean for your pain to be wasted. The devil does. He wants you destroyed by all those painful memories. God wants to teach you something. If you never asked him, ask him, Lord, what do you want to teach me out of this painful chapter in my life story? And let him redeem it. Secondly, when God opened a door of opportunity, Jephthah walked through it. When God opened a door of opportunity, Jephthah walked through it. Verse 11 says, he went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and commander over them, excuse me, and he repeated all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. The word Mizpah means witness. It was a place where an altar had been established and where people went to make a witness before the Lord. So what I hear happening here as I've studied this, what I hear happening here is that Jephthah goes to Mizpah and he stands there before this altar of the Lord and he reviews his history and he makes a declaration of what he's going to do. In other words, he reviewed his history, but he was not controlled by his history. Are you following me? He reviewed his history, but he was not controlled by his history. So basically he's saying, Lord, here is what happened, but I will not be controlled by my past. I will not be controlled by my past. And that's something that can happen when you let bitterness and resentment and vengefulness into your soul. It will destroy you. It will destroy you. If you give up on yourself, if you give up on God, if you give up on life, you know you've also given up on your potential. You realize that? So when God opened the door of opportunity to Jephthah, he said yes. He went and stood before that altar of the Lord in Mizpah. He made a witness there, and he said, I'm saying yes. It was his declaration, and maybe there's a declaration you need to make in the presence of the Lord, where you're saying, Lord, I will not be defined by my past. I'm going to move on and take hold of what you have planned for my life. I'm going to take hold of the chapters that are yet to be written. So what open door is God setting in front of you to which you need to say yes? Are you avoiding the open door or are you embracing the open door? A young boy by the name of Hal was 12 years old when his father was killed in an accident by a drunk driver. His mother was also very seriously injured and was no longer able to work. Hal and his siblings, their family, were immediately plunged into poverty because of the death of the father and the injury to the mother and no income coming into the home. But there were people in that community who loved Jesus and who heard about what had happened in Hal's family, and they began to reach out, bringing groceries, men in the church who came alongside of Hal and just put an arm around his shoulder and helped him, encouraged him, got him involved in different things. And Hal came to know Jesus. Now, there's a whole lot of ways you could process this kind of painful chapter in your life, right? You could say, I hate God because of what happened. I hate that man who caused the accident. When I grow up, I'm going to get even. All kind of ways that would destroy your life potential. Hal, as he grew up into adolescence and young adulthood, decided in his heart that someday he wanted to help people like his family had been helped by the men from the church. And he decided, I want to do for others what people did for us, because he saw the difference it made in their family, in their destitute situation and painful situation. So he had this dream in his heart. As a young man, he began fulfilling that dream with just getting an old pickup truck and going around and, you know, collecting different groceries and things that would be donated and taking them to families in the community that were in need. So it just began with a small thing. Today, there are 18-wheelers that travel across our nation to bring hope to people who've gone through times of destitution, whether that is hurricanes, floods, whatever it may be. Convoy of Hope exists today because of a little 12-year-old boy named Hal who decided that he wasn't going to let his pain destroy him, but he had a dream for his life. And he said yes to that dream. So I want to ask you again, what is it that God wants you to say yes to? It may seem something small, but God could use it to make a big difference in the life of somebody else. Amen? What yes do you need to say today to God? Third thing is, Jephthah embraced God's purposes. We see this in verses 11 and 12. He immediately begins to act upon the new purpose that God set before him. He doesn't waste his potential wishing his past had been different. You know, we can do that. We can waste our potential wishing that our past had been different, saying, well, if I had grown up in a home like that, then life would have been different. If I had had this, you know, happen in my life, then things would have been different. You know, if I had gotten the breaks, you know, we can waste our potential wishing that our past had been different. But Jephthah doesn't do that. He's learned needed skills in the difficulties of life. And as he began to take these steps to be a leader, I see him finally living up to his name, because the name Jephthah in the Hebrew means the one who breaks through. And I love that. The one who breaks through, or the one whom God sets free. So what battle do you need to win today with your head or with your heart so that you can break through? What battle do you need to win? With your head or with your heart? With your thinking or with your attitudes? What battle do you need to win? What do you need to be free of so you can embrace God's purpose for your life and live up to your new name? We sang about it this morning. We are God's sons. We are God's daughters, right? That's who we are. I know who I am. So what holds you back? What do you need to break through to be the person God wants you to be? Are there character issues that you need to overcome? Are there attitude and behavior issues? Is it the way you think about yourself, the way you think about life? What do you need to break through? Ask the Holy Spirit to show you what's holding you back. Because you can complain about your lot in life, or you can come before the Lord and humble yourself and say, Holy Spirit, show me what's holding me back. Do you know that He loves prayers like that? He does, because that just opens the door for things that God wants to do for you. The fourth thing I see here is that Jephthah faced his enemies confident in God's approval. Verses 29 and 30 say, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he advanced against his enemies. Say the word advanced. Advanced. That may be something that you need to do. That you just need to take authority in your life and say, there are enemies, but by the Spirit of God, I am going to face them and I'm going to stand against them. So when did Jephthah advance? The Spirit of God came upon him. Do you know that when you and I feel lacking, when we feel weak in ourselves, it's God's Spirit sent to help us that makes us competent to do His will? You realize that? I mean, you can say people like me never amount to much. You can degrade yourself. You can compare yourself. You can limit yourself. Or you can embrace the potential of your life. And with God's help, begin to write another chapter. With God's help, that pain can be redeemed. And you can open the door to new potential in your life. See, here's an important truth for every one of us. You can't change what has happened to you. But by God's grace, you can change the way you respond to what has happened to you. So let me say that again. You can't change what has happened to you. But by God's grace, you can change the way you respond to what has happened to you. See, what has happened is a part of your personal history. But as long as a person chooses to think and feel about what has happened to them in destructive ways, then what has happened in the past gets in the way of what God wants to see happen in their present and future. I think I may have shared this story here years ago about a friend of mine whose birth caused his mother's death. And he grew up raised by his aunt. He grew up hearing the taunts of other boys, you killed your mother, you killed your mother, you killed your mother. You know how cruel children can be at times. And he grew up telling himself, I'm a bad boy. I don't have a mom like other kids have because I killed her. Now, we may say, that's totally irrational. But that's no less irrational than some of the things you believe. You know, some of the stories that are in your head that you hold on to, right? He said that when he was in his teen years, he came to know Christ at a youth camp. But he still had this going on in his head. You know, the reason you don't have a mom is because you killed her. He said every year on his birthday, he would go and visit his mom's grave and he would apologize to her. So when he was 18 years old, he was at his mom's grave, and he was apologizing to her again. And the Holy Spirit broke through and spoke to his heart and said to him, Richard, not only did your mother die so that you could live, Jesus died so that you could live. You need to make something out of your life. Same facts, but a different way of interpreting those facts. So how would you apply that in your life? What lies are you telling yourself about yourself? Because you don't just live with the facts of your life, you live with the story that you've told yourself about those facts. And I want to tell you that the facts of your life are not greater than Jesus who lives in you. If you belong to Jesus, His Spirit lives in you. He loves you. He gifts you. He empowers you. And just like Jephthah, you need God's Spirit to help you defeat the lies of the enemy. So Is the story you tell yourself, or the label that you hang on yourself, or that others have hung on you, is that denying you of your God-given potential? And who are you going to believe? You see, God is the one who builds trophies from that which others throw out. God's the one who makes instruments of beauty from the hurts of the past. I saw this post on Facebook 2 weeks ago, and sometimes there's some really good stuff on Facebook, right? And it said, Satan loves to take what's beautiful and ruin it. God loves to take what's ruined and make it beautiful. Isn't that good? Is that the story of your life? Satan loves to take what's beautiful and ruin it. God loves to take what's ruined and make it beautiful. And so I love it when I go to Hebrews 11, because we may say, okay, that Jephthah thing, that's an Old Testament story. And you know, but what did God do with all of that? Well, in Hebrews 11, 32 to 34, the writer says, how much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah. You hear his name here in God's list of heroes? How did his name get there? Wow, God did something amazing, right? And Jephthah responded to it. And it says about all of these people, by faith, they overthrew kingdoms, they ruled with justice. And then there's this line there that says, their weakness was turned to strength. I love that. Their weakness was turned to strength. Say it with me. Their weakness was turned to strength. And there's Jephthah's name. You see, God sees, God remembers. And here's Jephthah's story brought into the new covenant. I just want to invite you this morning to bring to the Lord the story of your life, and to bring to the Lord the story of your pain. In Exodus 15:3, we're told the Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Do you know that warrior spirit of Jesus lives in you? Do you know that? That warrior spirit of Jesus lives in you. And because of that, you can contest the lies of the enemy. If you're a follower of Jesus, then you're also a fighter. And I'm not talking about going out on the street and creating a brawl. I'm talking about facing the evil one and his lies and saying, I'm going to contend with the enemy of my soul. I'm not just going to believe every lie, every feeling, every thought that comes along. I mean, do you have some battles to fight with the lies of the enemy? Sure you do. I do. Do you know that no matter how young you are or how old you are, you're going to have lie. You're going to have battles to fight with the lies of the enemy? Do you realize that? You're going to be fighting those lies. You know why that's true? Because, listen to me, church, there's no perfect life. So you can look at somebody else and you can say, well, if I had a perfect life like they'd had. No, there's no perfect life. There's no perfect job. Do you know that? There's no perfect childhood. There's no perfect marriage. Right? There's no perfect set of people who will always do what you expect them to do. Right? However, we do have a perfect God who is able to lead us through this imperfect life, and he's able to do that with unfailing strength and incomparable wisdom and infinite love. It's our part to invite him into our imperfect story, amen? And say, Lord, you take this story. So what story does God want to write about you? And will you surrender to him? I want to ask you to stand with me this morning. Will you do that? And I believe one of the, yes, worship team, if you'd come, please. I believe one of the prayers that we can pray is, Lord Jesus, I want to begin writing the story of my potential in you. And I invite you to transform my pain. In other words, I'm going to believe that there's something beyond my pain. There's something beyond my heartaches. There's something beyond life's disappointments. There's something beyond the messed up things that may have gone wrong in my life. And whether they were choices that somebody else made, like in Jephthah's story, or whether they involve choices that you make, Jesus is able to redeem all of that. Amen? Jesus is able to redeem all of that. So I'm thinking there's probably a bunch of us here this morning who need to pray a prayer like that and to invite Jesus into our pain and into our story and just surrender to him. Say, Lord, with your help, we're going to write some new chapters. With your help, there's going to be redemption. With your help, there'll be new beginnings. With your help, Lord, I'm going to learn something from my pain. With your help, I'm going to learn to look at it through your eyes. With your help, I'm going to learn to think about it differently. And I'm going to overcome the lies that the enemy tells me about me. You know what I'm talking about, right? And if that's you, I just want to invite you to come and stand across the front here. Would you do that? Come on. We want to pray for you this morning. We want to believe with you for what Jesus has planned for the rest of your life, no matter how many years that may be. We want to believe with you for God to redeem the painful situations, the disappointments. We want to believe with you for victory over labels that you may have hung on yourself, or labels that other people may have hung on you. So you may have grown up hearing things like, you know, some of us grew up hearing, you no good children, I don't know why I ever had you. And so you may have grown up hearing things like that, and you may believe that about yourself. I'm no good, I'm worthless, I'm good for nothing. You may have heard some things somewhere along the way from a teacher, from a important person in your life, and the enemy is using those lies to torment your soul and to rob you of God's best for your life. Come on, come and join this group here this morning. That's you just saying, I need the help of Jesus in this. I'm inviting him into my story. I'm inviting him into my pain. I'm inviting him to redeem all of this. We're just going to sing the first verse and chorus of that song, and we're going to wait because I think there's others the Holy Spirit is speaking to this morning. And if that's you, you come on and join this group here. Yes.
My hope is built.
My hope is built on nothing less.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Jesus.
What do you want to do this
morning? In righteousness, I dare not trust the sweetest phrase, but wholly trust in Jesus' name.
Yes, Christ alone.
Christ alone, cornerstone,
weak made strong. Oh, thank you, Lord.
In the Savior's love, through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all.
Christ alone.
Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, in the Savior's love, through the storm. He is Lord, Lord of all.
Thank you, Jesus. To hear those words we sang, weak made strong. How? Through the Savior's love. So I'm affirming that I am loved by Him. And that makes all the difference. I'd like some of you to come and stand with these folks who've come this morning. We're going to pray together. Would you do that? I'm just going to come and believe with them. Stand with them. We're going to pray together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that in you the weak are made strong. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that in you there is hope. In you there is potential. Thank you, Lord, that in you there are new chapters to be written in our life story. Thank you, Lord, that in you there is redemption for our pain. Oh, Lord, thank you that in you there are new ways you want to teach us to look at our journey and look at our story. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ, where you showed us that great blessing can come out of great suffering. So we pray for that in the name of Jesus. And let's just begin to pray for one another, church. Father, we do that. We reach out to you in the name of Jesus. I pray that that same spirit that descended upon Jephthah, that same spirit would fall upon your people this morning in the name of Jesus, that you open the windows of heaven and you pour out upon them of your Holy Spirit. You pour out upon them, Lord, of your love. Assure them that they are loved by you. Oh, God, that they belong to you. Lord, just as we sang earlier, we know who we are. We belong to you. We've been redeemed by you. So, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that the lies of the enemy would be exposed. I pray in the name of Jesus that the power of those lies would be broken in Jesus' name. I declare that in you, Christ, there is peace. In you, there is victory. In you, there is a breakthrough for our lives. There is a breakthrough to our potential in the name of Jesus. And Lord, you know what you want to do with every single one of us. Oh God, you know the things that may begin in a small way that are going to make a difference, because we're going to open our heart to you and we're going to say yes to you. So Father, I just pray for each one here this morning that, Lord, they'll be aware of where they need to say yes to you. They'll be aware of the obstacles that are holding them back, and they'll decide that I'm going to contend with this in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Have you ever contended for something in your life? Have you ever contended for something? Have you ever paid a bill and then got billed again for it, and you already had paid it, and they're telling you that you owe money that you know you already had paid? Has that ever happened to you? You know, so what do you do? Do you just say, oh, well, if they say I owe it, I guess I owe it. Do you pay it again? No, you get the proof out, right? And you show them, I paid this. Right here is the proof. Well, what do we do when the enemy comes and says, you owe for this? We get the proof out. What Jesus did on the cross, right? We get the proof out. It's already been paid for. It's already been paid for. And we decide we're going to contend. We're going to contend. We're going to fight against the lies of the evil one. So, Father, put that kind of spirit, not a contentious spirit, but, Lord, an overcoming spirit in our lives. I pray that in the name of Jesus, that we'll recognize that the warrior spirit of Jesus lives in us. And we will rise up against the lies of the evil one. And we will contend, Lord, for the future that you have planned for us. That we will contend for the potential that you want to unfold in our lives. Oh, Father, I pray for healing grace to be poured out upon your people. For those who are in the midst of great pain and heartache right now. Even as Pastor Danny declared earlier, that, Lord, you begin to bring the pieces together in their life. and you begin to restore their souls. I pray that in the name of Jesus. And where the enemy has robbed us of hope, that that would be restored in the name of Jesus. And where the enemy has robbed us of joy, that that would be restored in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, I pray for that in the name of Jesus. I pray there'll be testimonies of breakthroughs. Testimonies of breakthroughs. Because, Lord, although we all have pain, we also all have potential. I pray we take hold of that potential in the name of Jesus. I pray that for your people. I pray your blessings upon Bethel Assembly. Pray your blessings upon Pastor Danny and Heather. And Lord, I thank you that in every chapter you're writing, even the new chapters that you're writing for Bethel Assembly, you know God is doing that, right? He's writing new chapters for Bethel Assembly. There's potential. So you just look around you at what God is doing in the lives of your brothers and sisters, and you realize, wow, there's potential. Amen? There's potential. So you can live in the past, and you can live in stories of pain or disappointment, or you can say, wow, I'm taking hold of what God has for my future. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. God bless you, church.